On this day, August the 14th, 1941, Maximilian Kolbe was given a lethal injection at Auschwitz. Months earlier, on the 17th of February, the Nazis arrested Maximilian in a purge of Poland's clergy and intellectuals, and they were sent to the death camp, Auschwitz. There he was stripped of any vestige of his former life. His Franciscan habit was taken from him, and he was given a prisoner's striped uniform. And then on that day, July the 30th, 1941, one prisoner escaped from Barrack 12. And the subcommandant Fritz had all of the prisoners come out. All of the rest of the prisoners in Auschwitz were given soup that night, except for those in Barrack 12. And then he pointed out 10 men who were to be killed in order to punish the barrack for the escape of the one man. One man who was to be killed was a family man, and he cried out, "I have children, I have a wife." And it was at that point that Maximilian Kolbe said, "I am a priest, I will take his place." They were then stripped naked and locked in a basement cell and left to starve to death. By August the 14th, all of the prisoners had died except for Father Kolbe. Indeed, he had been there to help the other prisoners prepare for death. And then on that day, a guard went into the cell and administered a lethal injection into his heart. In 1982, on the day of his canonization, Pope John Paul II declared that Maximilian Kolbe was a martyr for charity. A martyr for charity. Now, there's much about the 20th century that we celebrate. Think of all of the technological innovations, all of the ways in which science has developed, and for those things we can give thanks. But the 20th century was also the most inhumane, and in many ways will be remembered as the century where we learned how to exercise mass execution. So we should not look back wistfully on the 20th century, nor should we be uncritical about the so-called achievement of the modern world. One of the lessons that we learn is that in what we call civilization, this can be a rather thin veneer, because what lies beneath the surface is a terrifying heart of darkness. Do you know that Commandant Haas, who was the man responsible for the killings at Auschwitz, that he was a baptized Catholic, and that his father had hoped he would become a priest? It was in the heart of civilized Europe, among the fading remains of Christian culture, that the death camps were built, and millions of innocent men, women, and children were put to death for no reason other that their very existence challenged the ideological conceits of their oppressors. In the midst of such a world of darkness, we are called by our baptism to be people who shine the light of grace into the shadows of the modern world. Maximilian Kolbe was such a light. His life and his death stands as a testimony to Christ, the eternal light, a light that no darkness can overcome. But here's our problem. As Christians, it is easy for us to say, "I want to play it safe," to have a kind of philosophy that my faith is really kind of about self-improvement, something meant to be comfortable and comforting. But the witness of Maximilian Kolbe stands against this illusion. Christian faith is not so much about safety, it is about risk. It isn't meant to take us out into the world in a kind of protective bubble, but rather we are to go out into the world with the light of Christ, to shine that light into the shadows, so that those who are walking in the darkness can be shown the light that leads us home. Today's readings bring this theme before us with a clarion clarity, and they highlight that if we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, as it says in the reading from Hebrews, it is going to bring us into conflict with the powers that be. St. Maximilian Kolbe understood this and experienced and died for this. And here's the reason why. Authentically spiritual people will always be opposed. Authentically spiritual people will always be opposed. Why is this? Well, the logic is simple. We live in a world that has gone wrong. It is upside down. And when people come speaking the truth and embodying the truth by their lives, they challenge that upside down world at its very core. And the conclusion that is often made is those Catholics are crazy. They are dangerous. They need to be silenced. This is what the Nazis did in the Second World War. And there are ways more subtly that in modern culture, the powers that be, the power elites, would try to silence the Catholic Church. In our Old Testament lesson, we see this displayed in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a reluctant prophet. We're told at the beginning of this book that God had called him in his mother's womb to be a prophet. But every time he spoke, his words fell on deaf ears, to the point that one day he's praying to God and he says, God, you've deceived me, and I have been deceived. And then he cries out, if I say I will not mention God or speak any more in his name, there's a fire in my heart that's burning, shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, you know, if I had it up to my decision, I wouldn't speak in the word of God and in his name, but I can't hold it in. I have to speak. And there we read in today's passage that Jeremiah is saying to the politicians and the military elite in Jerusalem, actually, we should surrender to Babylon. Because if we don't surrender to Babylon, the Babylonians are going to come in and they are going to destroy Jerusalem. Now, you can imagine that the people did not listen to him. They said, how dare he? And so we read in today's passage, this man ought to be put to death because he is discouraging the soldiers who are left in this city, and all the people by speaking words to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm. But here's the point. Jeremiah actually was seeking their welfare. He didn't want countless thousands of them to be killed in Jerusalem, but he would not be heard. And so what did the people do? Well, rather than saying, let's put him to the top of society, they put him at the very bottom and the dregs of society by throwing him down a well so that he is sinking deep, deep, deeper into the mud. Here is Jeremiah speaking the word of God, and he literally fell to the bottom of society. Think of Maximilian Kolbe in that starvation bunker. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And here's the point. When we consistently speak the word of God, the power elites and the dominant ideology will always seek to undermine us and reject us. They will go to great lengths to shut up the prophetic voice. Now think about Israel. Israel was a theocratic, theocentric society. They all believed in God. But even there, Jeremiah faced such opposition. We live in a radically secular and pluralistic society. In such a society, to speak consistently with a Catholic voice about the church's moral and spiritual teaching will win you very few friends and many enemies. To speak out against abortion, euthanasia, human trafficking, economic inequalities, the redefining of gender and marriage, brings us up against powerful forces that would readily want us to join Jeremiah in the bottom of that mud-filled cistern. And it's not just Jeremiah who tells us about this. Most especially, it is Jesus. Now, this reading might surprise you. Jesus' words don't seem to fit with the Prince of Peace. Forgive your enemies, turn the other cheek. But here, Jesus is very explicit. He said, I haven't come to establish peace, but rather division. What in the world could Jesus mean? Why does he sound so harsh? To understand Jesus' words, we need to understand the difference between intentions and reality. Jesus does not say that he desires divisions, but that divisions will happen because of who he is. And I bet you have experienced this. If you are seeking to live your life as a devout Catholic, as you desire to go deeper in your faith, you might have family members who think you are just crazy. You might have friends who think, are you ever strange in believing all that Catholic stuff? You might experience something where I feel like that sore thumb that is really standing out in the world. You are seen as being noticeably different. And beloved, if we're going to be true to the gospel, it's going to cause division. We will be misunderstood. We will be looked down upon. We will be openly criticized. And to put it simply, to be a Christian in the 21st century, in North America, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is not easy. But here's the thing. In order for us to hear Jesus this morning, in order for us to hear Jeremiah and to be inspired by Maximilian Kolbe, we have to pray for a kind of zeal, a zeal of charity, the kind of passion that allows us to say that life is not primarily about personal comfort and fulfillment. And that's what so many people in the 21st century have as their creed. It's about fulfilling myself. It's about comfort. I like the way C.S. Lewis observed this many years ago. For wise men of old, the cardinal problem of human life was how to conform the soul to objective reality, to the reality of who God is, in other words. And out of that, they understood that the solution was to grow in wisdom, self-discipline, and virtue. Now listen to what Lewis said, writing in the 1940s, about modern man. For the modern person, the cardinal problem is how to conform reality to the wishes of man. And this makes all the difference in the world. What is our cardinal purpose and virtue? Our readings today teach us that in a society like ours, where we are taught that to be uncomfortable, to struggle, to be dissatisfied, is something that we have to try to pave over. Jesus in the gospel says that we are to hunger for his way. We are to hunger for the way of the cross. And as it said in that reading from Hebrews, we are not to despise the shame of the cross, but we are to make it our focus. For you see, Jesus was a warrior for the good of souls. Maximilian Kolbe was the same, as was Jeremiah. And today the church is calling us to be men and women and young people who are warriors for souls. And so we hear Jesus say to us today, do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And of course, this division, this opposition, is one that he will face primarily at the hands of evil men and at the hands of evil spirits, but he will not shy away from it. I like the way St. Thomas Aquinas put this. He said, zeal is proportionate to the intensity of love, and the love of true friendship creates a zeal that energetically repels anything that might harm one's friend. That's what Jeremiah's contemporaries didn't understand, that his zeal was the zeal of love. Maximilian Kolbe's zeal was the zeal of love. Jesus' zeal was the zeal of love. And it inspired Jesus, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, was willing to endure the cross and disregard its shame. And it is this zeal that on this, the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time, the church calls us to consider. And we can only do it if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. But remember, and increasingly so in our society, such zeal in those people who are desiring to be authentically spiritual will always be opposed. Let me conclude with this quote from St. Vincent de Paul. He said, "You must burn with the love of Christ, or the world will die of cold." Isn't that beautiful? You must burn with the love of Christ, or the world will die of cold. St. Maximilian Kolbe burned with that love in the coldest place on earth, Auschwitz death camp. So great was the warmth of his love that in 1982, 200,000 people gathered in St. Peter's Square for his canonization. "Yes," said St. John Paul II, "he is the martyr of charity." St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us that we too would burn with the passionate zeal of Jesus.